All right, it's AP and Spence, two lawyers talking college sports and sports law in general. Spence, how the heck are you doing? And what we're season two, what episode are we?
I think we're now episode 22. I'm pretty sure that's correct. But yeah, we're moving right along through season two, and it has been a blast this season for sure. But very different than last season. I mean, last season it was flawless. We didn't really have any issues, you know, and now we're dealing with smoke storm, with smoke attacks and COVID and ice storms and snowpocalypse. It's not one thing, it's another, you know, kind of thing this season.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like 2020 2021 is basically 2020. It just has bangs. I don't know if you've heard that from Mean Girls. I know that's your favorite movie, but
it's up there.
Yeah. So, you know, but we've had some incredible guests on our podcast. I mean, last week we're talking to an Olympian, a national champion, somebody that's hopeful for the Olympics this year. We might see Connor McCullough, sitting on there having a gold or a silver medal or something for the United States. I mean, so.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
Yeah. So we've gotten great guests and people that work at different schools. And so some fun stuff. I think we'll have an exciting one today as well. We're going to be talking about some stuff. Well, I think there's a few things going on. I think things are, now that football's wrapped up and kind of signing period is over, we're starting to kind of shift our focus to basketball, men's and women's basketball. That's going on. Anything new going out
there
that you're hearing, Spence?
Well, I'm talking about NCAA basketball. One thing that has been interesting to follow up on is, remember a couple of episodes ago, we had that lawyer from Kansas talking to us about the NCAA infraction committee and how that is a different opportunity rather than going through the regular infractions committee through the NCAA. There's now this separate arbitrary kind of option where you can kind of, it's more of a neutral type option. And Louisville came out saying that they've decided to use that more neutral type option for whatever penalty they're going to get from the Rick Pitino and Adidas scandal. And so, I mean, it's really interesting watching that happen, because that really, that's another option. And, you know, we heard that there's some risks and there's some benefits to that option, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest risk, the one I took away from what I remember, is you're not able to appeal it. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So they can't appeal it. So whatever the decision is from this committee, which is made up not of NCAA employees, but of lawyers and judges that are in the community that have knowledge about sports, right? NCAA sports law. And so it's really interesting to think about, you know, they could go to this committee and they could get hammered and they can't appeal it, right? But I think the idea is that they're going to go into the more of the private sector to hope for more of a reasonable penalty, maybe, right? But there is that risk there. And, you know, I don't know. It seems like if you have a good relationship with the NCAA, you might want to go through the NCAA rather than the infraction committee. But at the same time, maybe they already know, maybe they've already talked to their NCAA contacts and they know the NCAA is going to slam them. So they're hoping for more lenient. I mean, this is all speculation, but maybe they're hoping for a more lenient penalty from this committee, right?
Yeah, that could be, right? Yeah, there's a sense of like, because I remember him talking about that. Like, I don't think we're going to get a fair shake. I guess it's sort of like venue shopping in a way, where you think from this venue, well, there's no way we're going to get a good shake. We're going to go here. Maybe it's going to be a little more neutral and we'll roll the dice and see. Nobody really knows for sure. But if you feel confident, gosh, we've really screwed up, we're going to get hammered in this venue, let's roll the dice and see what happens in this other one. And maybe that's a smart move, but you, as an attorney, I know for me, I would not like the idea of not being able to appeal something, sort of a binding arbitration kind of idea. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that is, but like I said, I mean, you know, these high profile programs have high profile lawyers who have contacts within the NCAA, right? And so, you know, if I'm one of these lawyers that has these connections with the NCAA and I'm saying, hey, you know, what type, and I reach out to my contacts. Okay, here's the allegations. What kind of penalty could we be looking at? And maybe they heard from the NCAA, right? And then maybe they're thinking, let's go the other option. I know this is a risk, but let's try it. And, you know, I mean, the penalty so far from them, have we seen a penalty come down from an infraction three? Because this is brand new. I don't think we've seen a penalty formally come down yet, right? That I've seen.
No, not yet. And so that's kind of the unknown. And I think we're going to learn about this process over the next year or two. But right now we're not sure. And it's sort of an unknown avenue. And maybe it comes out a little bit more lenient, ends up being a good thing for some of these schools. Maybe they come out really harsh and it ends up being a terrible decision. But we're going to learn about this process. I think the thought is it's a little more neutral. It gives them another avenue where you don't have maybe bias at the NCAA. And they think, you know what, this isn't fair. We're going to get a terrible shake from the NCAA. Now we have this outside entity that we can kind of run it through, and maybe that'll give us a more of a fair shake. But we'll find out how that actually works in the coming years.
Yeah, exactly. And just to kind of piggyback off what you just said, the NCAA infraction, you know, the NCAA, you know, committee that's actually within the NCAA that handles these, they know the NCAA recruiting rules inside and out, right? They eat, sleep, and dream about this stuff, right? It's on the forefront of their mind. And maybe by going through a more of an independent type committee, they're going to get a more lenient, because we've already seen that with the judges, like with handling the workers' comp, the case against West Virginia and the NCAA, where the West Virginia, you know, Court of Appeals said, hey, you know, you can't restrict these kids making money at school. You can't do that. Right. But they don't, because like you said, they don't understand the NCAA rules. And so, you know, maybe it might be in their best interest to go through the infraction committee and try this option. I think they might get a little more lenient because they're not going to know the NCAA rules as thoroughly as an NCAA employee, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. And maybe the same idea of like a neutral jury of your peers versus a judge. Same idea. You know, you think, well, gosh, if I go in front of this judge is going to know the law so well, and I don't know that the law is exactly on my side. So I'm going to go to a jury and appeal to their emotions, and maybe I'll get a different result. And maybe it's the same sort of idea. That's not a perfect example, but kind of that idea, that concept, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah. That'll be something that we'll have to keep an eye on. I mean, as this goes on, the other thing, I think that they don't, if I remember right, they don't have to share their, you know, a lot of the same stuff that they would have to share if it was a public type hearing with the NCAA, right? So like, I don't think we get access to all of the ins and outs of what they're saying. We just will probably hear through some type of press release what the final decision is, but we don't get all the evidence coming out. So that might be another reason why they're doing it this way.
I think so. That privacy, it can be a little embarrassing for a university to have all your dirty laundry out for the media and everybody to read about, learn about, hear about. It might be better like, hey, let's keep this in-house. Let's resolve this. You know, we don't need to look inside the sausage factory, so to speak. I think that makes sense too. If you think there's some embarrassing details going to come out, let's keep it in-house. So that's a consideration as well. So it's a cool new tool. We'll just find out how it works here in the coming years.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the other thing that's interesting that just came out is that they've now extended the recruiting debt period through May 31st, right? And this, just, I mean, at some point, they're going to have to reopen for the recruiting, right? I mean, at some point.
Yeah.
They. But it's getting to a point where now it's been more than a year. It's been a year and a couple of months now that these schools have been unable to do their normal recruits, that, you know, going into homes and meeting with kids on campus. Have you seen that schools have had a harder time recruiting the same level of athletes that they had before, or do you think it's just been the same? Has there been any kind of problems with this, like having this dead period be extended?
You know, I think what's happening is that kids are wanting to stay closer to home because of what's going on, and they're not able to go in person on an official visit. Like, for example, think about this. Let's say you live in Los Angeles, right? And you think, well, I wouldn't mind going and checking out BYU. But the school can't fly me there. They can't pay for me to go. I'm going to have to buy my own flight, my own hotel, my own food. And when I get there, I can't meet with any coaches at all. I got to just kind of walk around a cold campus all by myself at my own expense. I don't have enough money to do that and fly my parents there and the whole thing. So I'm not going to go. So I'll check it out online. I'll see it. And then they think, well, you know what? I'm just going to stay at home because I've been able to drive down the street and see USC and UCLA. And even though I still can't go see the coaches, I can afford to get there myself. And so you're seeing, I think, kids stay home. Top talent are staying in their areas, and that's hurting programs from smaller markets. And I think bigger markets with more collections of talent. Texas, Florida, California, they're staying home, and you're seeing some of those programs get better recruiting. I think that's what's happened right now.
Okay, yeah, and I think that's accurate because so it's not necessarily hurting some programs, like maybe you, like some of our schools, right, that we like, they may be even benefiting from this, right, because you're not having the LA kid fly out to Alabama. They're instead just staying close to home for their schools, right? And a lot of the unknowns, and it's just nice to be around family rather than be in an area where you don't really know anybody, you know, or something like that. So maybe it's going to be a benefit a little bit, huh?
Yeah, it could be. It could start a trend of kids staying closer. And I think that's healthy. There's a lot of kids that I saw that even at USC or wherever, Oregon State, where they would fly from wherever they're from, Florida, Texas, Ohio, Michigan, they would go way off and gone to start college, sign somewhere, they get excited, and then homesickness would set in. They would be off season, they're just doing some lifting, they haven't made that many friends, they're a 1,000 miles from their family, and then they end up transferring back. That happens a lot because when you're only 18 years old, sometimes that's pretty young to sort of be away if you've chosen to be there. It's one thing if you don't have any choice, right, but if you've chosen, and sometimes that sets in. So you might see a trend of kids staying and playing for their hometowns a little bit more. But eventually they are going to have to lift this dead period. I think there's discussions after. If you notice, May 31st is not that far in the future. It's just a few more months. I think they're going to try to have some modifications from what I was reading to eventually get back to the recruiting calendar where we can actually have contact, where we can have evaluation, where we can do some of this. Because things are opening up. This kind of great reopening is starting. You know, restaurants are starting to open up. The NCAA tournament's going to be able – we'll talk about that. That the fans can kind of be there. And so part of this grand reopening, I think, is starting to open up the recruiting calendar. People, you know, they said that 40 million Americans have been vaccinated right now. And so it's going to be more and more. By the summer, probably everybody that wants a vaccine will have been vaccinated. And so, you know, those that don't want it, they don't want it, right? But, you know, and then – we're in good shape at that point, so we need to get back to the recruiting calendar, get back to some normalcy, kind of get past the pandemic, I think.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And you look at the COVID numbers, they're going way down too. So it's all good news, right? And that's just going to help. I mean, you and I both hope that by the time fall comes around, we're able to start going to games full time, you know, full fans, normalcy. Like, that would be awesome. I mean, hopefully, keep your fingers crossed, but hopefully that'll happen. But yeah, just little by little, things are going to start opening up. And hopefully in May 31st, when they see, you know, that's the end of this recruiting dead period, hopefully they say, okay, starting June 1st, it's open, wide open, you know, good to go.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's going to come. I think this fall, I mean, you're hearing from Dr. Fauci, you're hearing from Bill Gates, you know, different people that are supposedly in the know talking about that there could be a sense of normalcy this fall. If we have like half the people vaccinated by then, the numbers are going way down, as long as these variants don't. And most of the variants have been fine. What I've been reading is that the vaccine still impacts them as well. There's a few weird strands out there that are like in different countries. But for the most part, I think, you know, like you've said, the numbers are going way, way down. I mean, we're almost back down to where we were last March, April, when this thing was just starting. And that's like across the board nationally, and we're starting to reopen. And I can see that. I think a good sign is the NCAA tournament is going to allow fans. I think that's the biggest step. Maybe this fall, it's 50% capacity in sporting venues. You know, we do that for a year. But, you know, we're going to start seeing more of a return to normalcy. I think that's going to be good for the mental health of the student athletes that are tired of being locked down, tired of not playing in front of fans and their friends. That's just good for society in general.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Well, we'll keep an eye on this pretty dead period. Hopefully, starting June 1st, they'll allow things to start coming back. And let's go to the phones. I think we've got an exciting guest.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's head to it. We got Mike Swets, Director of Operations for USC Trojans Men's Basketball, on deck.
All right, let's do it.
All right, it's AP and Spence. We're two lawyers talking college sports and sports law in general. Spencer, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Hey, so I know we're going to the phones right now, so who do we have on the phone today?
Yeah, so we have Michael Swets, friend of the show. He's been on before, and he's the Director of Operations for USC Trojans Men's Basketball. And USC, I'll let him talk about it, but USC right now is 18-3. They sit atop the Pac-12, and they have a interesting kind of slate of games coming up. And then, you know, Coach Sweats here is going to talk to us a little bit about what it's going to look like going forward for USC basketball. So, Mr. Sweats, how you doing, sir?
Good, good. Thanks for having me back on the podcast. Enjoyed last time. Looking forward to this time.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. So, first of all, congratulations on, I mean, you guys, I think, have won 7 in a row, 18-3. And I was looking at kind of a fun little stat. I don't know if you saw this or not, but nobody's won more games than 18 right now, except for one team, Gonzaga, who's 21-0. So USC's won a lot of games. They're doing great. Congratulations. What do you guys credit to that?
You know, it goes all to our players. You know, they're the ones out there on the court and executing the game plan in real time and following, you know, what we see on film and putting it to good work. You know, offensively, defensively, we're sharing the ball. We're playing unselfish. We're playing for each other. We're excited for each other's success. And then defensively, we're playing together, playing as a unit and playing well. We're really clicking together, both sides of the ball at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you guys pretty healthy for the most part right now?
We are. You know, we've been fortunate in that regard, knock on wood. You know, you're getting to the point in the season where everybody's kind of a little banged up for one reason or another, just through the wear and tear of the season. But we are full go, fully healthy.
Now, I think I was reading a stat that USC basketball has not won the conference, just outright, not like the tournament, but I mean like the regular season conference title, since maybe the 80s or 90s. It's been a long time, and I know it means quite a bit to a lot of people for USC to find a way to win this. Is that a goal of your guys's, or is it just one of those things, hey, one game at a time, and if that happens, great, we're not thinking about it?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. When we, you know, at the beginning of the year, when we finally got able to get together, we laid out some goals. The regular season title was one of those, and it's certainly within our reach still, and that's something we want to attain because, like you said, it hasn't been done in a number of years. But on the flip side of that, how do you get there? Is just one game at a time. You know, I think it would be a mistake for us to look 2-3 games down the road and saying, hey, if we get these next three, we're good, without focusing on the next one at hand, which is Arizona tomorrow afternoon. So it's definitely a goal of ours. We're excited about it. We think we have a good shot. But at the same time, our only focus right now on that is Arizona and the challenges they present tomorrow at the Galen Center.
Yeah, because this is an interesting stretch of games, because your schedule was changed a little bit because of COVID. Is that right? Where now you guys have sort of a collection of games in a short period of time?
Yeah, you know, with the regular season kind of being about two and a half weeks away from being done, you know, it's about you know, finishing our regular schedule that, you know, has been on the books for a long time. And then trying to place in the last couple that we may have missed, you know, for a variety of reasons. And, you know, we were, so Arizona on tomorrow was kind of always on the schedule as February 20th. But originally we were supposed to play Stanford in a makeup game on the 22nd on Monday. That has been switched. Now we're playing Oregon on the 22nd. And then we go to our regularly scheduled road trip to the mountains, Colorado and Utah. And then we come back and we're going to fit in Stanford as a home game somewhere that first week of March before finishing off across town at UCLA.
Yeah, I mean, that is an unbelievable stretch. I know USC can do it, but that, I mean, the thing is, when you start, it seems like in sports, correct me if I'm wrong, you would know better, but it seems like when a team gets hot and then they start getting national notoriety like USC is getting now, and they rank 17th, and there's been a lot of buzz about them in the national media even, and people that aren't, like, or more just casual fans are now recognizing, well, the USC Trojans are coming out of the Pac-12. What's going on with that team? Let's check them out. The Arizonas, the Stanfords, the Oregons, they're circling USC now. It's like, okay, we got to get up for this big game. And you're going to get everybody's kind of A game. The players, are they aware of that? Is there a way for them to kind of rise up to that challenge, or how do you guys combat that, I guess, a little bit?
I think you're definitely right. You know, we've, with us being atop the league standings by a game right now, sitting by ourselves in first place, you know, we've definitely become the hunted and become the marquee game, and that people want to test their strengths against. So we've recognized that. I think we've met the challenge well. I think it speaks to our unselfishness, our chemistry, the type of character of guys we have in the locker room, how we've handled that success. Because you're exactly right. Some teams can taste a little bit of success, get a little bit selfish, and want to see what they can do themselves individually. And we really haven't had any of that. And so I think it really speaks to how well our guys like each other on and off the floor, how well they get along with each other, how unselfish they are in their play, how they play for one another, how they're excited about somebody else's success. And so we've really been able to kind of, downplay that a little bit in the expectations of, I don't think we feel the weight of that. I think our guys are really having fun out there and taking it one step at a time.
Yeah, I mean, and that's great to hear. I mean, you guys have some exceptional talent on your team. I think one of your players is projected. He could go maybe even number one, but definitely a lottery pick in the NBA. I mean, is that true?
It is. Evan's a phenomenal talent, but he's also a phenomenal kid. And with really high character and there's no question he's the most talented player on our team, but he also may be the most unselfish. I mean, in our game on Wednesday against Arizona State, he had 7 assists. So he's more than willing to share the ball. And if you've got a student athlete like that, who's as talented as anybody is in the country, and he's willing to pass the ball, I think that's contagious. To the rest of our guys, if Evan, who is projected to be a top, the top pick, a top two pick, a top three pick, is willing to give up the ball when he has it 2-3 feet from the basket, to get a better shot, that rubs off on guys immediately, and they want to play that way. So Evan has really been obviously a huge part of our success, but the way he plays the game also is just as much a part of our success as the way, as his individual talent.
Yeah, USC's done just a heck of a job all around. I mean, I think recruiting is just unbelievable. You're getting great talent. The coaching's been fantastic. Good character guys. They're kind of winning the right way. And it's interesting that there's been a little bit of shift, right? I mean, Kentucky is a little bit down. Duke's a little bit down. Maybe some of these traditional powers are being replaced by the Gonzagas and the Baylors and the USCs, and maybe there's just a little bit of a shift. Is that true? Is that kind of a one-off, or do you think that there's starting to be a little more parity out there in basketball?
I think it's a combination of a couple things. I think one, the landscape of recruiting has changed. There's a lot more visibility for kids nowadays than there may have been 5, 10, 15 years down the road. And so evaluations are being able to be a little bit more thorough, and coaches are finding the right fits for their programs. And basketball has become such a specialized sport that the talent pool has just become deeper and deeper. And so we find ourselves in LA where there's great high school basketball, great AAU basketball, and especially in the times of difficult times we find ourselves in, kids want to stay home. They want to stay closer to family and friends. And I think we've been a beneficiary of that, where our success has been in part due to, local Los Angeles area kids who take ownership of the program and want to have that hometown success. And they're great kids too. So I think that's why we've been able to be as competitive as we have been. And, we now have continuity in our program from year to year, and I think it's all equaled good things for the Trojans.
Yeah, I've always felt that. And I was talking to my dad the other day as well. You know, a team that's located in Los Angeles, like USC, a good kind of recruiting bed that's kind of around that area, if it catches fire and starts, you know, being sort of a premier team, you know, they could kind of ride that success for a while, get some of those. It's not easy to do. I'm certainly not trying to minimize it, but you start getting a couple of recruits in there, a couple of big names, and it starts becoming kind of an it school that kids want to go to. Let's play for our city. Let's play for Los Angeles. And USC could find itself, I mean, that's my hope, at least, as just a fan, that, and it could sit there and have some success for a period of time. You know, it's been really impressive. Hats off to you, Coach Sweats. I know you're a big part of that, and to the whole staff. You guys have done a phenomenal job, and really, me as a USC alumni, I'm just so proud of what you guys have been able to do, and you're making the alumni really proud and really excited about basketball. I guess coming forward, what are you hearing about the NCAA tournament? What do you think that's going to look like? I know there's probably some. I just heard recently that they're going to allow a few fans, and that'll be kind of different.
Yeah, I think more information is coming out, daily, if not hourly. I think they made the announcement this morning that fans would be in attendance and in a limited capacity, and it's going to be a little bit different in every venue that is hosting games this year. But I think, you know, the tournament as a whole is going to look far different than it has in the past. You know, the entire tournament taking place in Indianapolis. The NCAA is going to ask teams to stay in place, so there's not going to be that travel to one location, go home for a few days, get back on a plane, travel somewhere else, as kind of been the custom the last, you know, since the tournament went to 68 teams. So that's going to be a little bit different. When you fly to Indy, you're going to be there for the duration of your stay in the tournament. It's going to be a different animal than in years past. And, you know, you're not going to be able to share that experience as much with family and friends who are going to be able to come watch us play, but maybe not have that interaction post game or at the hotel. And so it's going to be a little bit different, but it's going to, you know, across the country, I give credit to the student athletes and to the coaches who've had to sacrifice so much to make this season a possibility. You know, to ask kids to not visit with friends and family in a social setting as much, or in some cases at all, you know, just to be able to play the game of, you know, basketball is a tremendous sacrifice psychologically, mentally, emotionally. You know, the end is kind of in sight with the tournament being 3-4 weeks away and Selection Sunday being about 3 weeks away, I think. And so it's, you know, everything our kids have worked for all year is within their reach.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I mean, think about the impact of like the next month or so, month and a half for USC basketball, about how much, I mean, from finishing up the season to the Pac-12 tournament to the NCAA tournament in a new format in Indianapolis. It's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to take kind of that sports psychology kind of acumen to the whole thing, staying healthy, having a little luck there of staying healthy. Is there anything unique as far as travel goes that the NCAA is sort of putting on you that you have to do to get there?
They're asking us, you know, to really focus on the socially distant piece. You know, their hope is that with the protocols in place, that their contact tracing will almost be eliminated based on the distancing and masking up and the space, you know, the space they're going to give us for meeting rooms and the plane, you know, for a limited travel party and things like that. So. A lot of credit goes to the kids and to our staff for being able to follow those directions to a T, you know, pretty much the whole season and be in position to get a high seed in the NCAA tournament later this month.
Yeah, well, Coach Sweats, thank you so much for your time. You know, I know that you're super busy. We'll let you focus on Arizona, but I want to wish you a lot of luck in these kind of challenging games coming up with Arizona, Stanford, Oregon, UCLA. And then in the Pac-12 tournament, and then in Indianapolis at the NCAA tournament. I know you guys are going to do well. You're representing USC really well. Excited for you guys. And I remember I used to work for USC basketball way back when I was an undergrad. And I worked with – I was under Henry Bibby, if you remember him, Mike Bibby's dad. And we went to the Elite Eight the year I was working there. And it's just a special season. It was unbelievable. And it's memories that I have for the rest of my life, you know. And so I really hope for that for you guys. I know you can get there and reach your dreams that you have for basketball. So, Mike, I really appreciate your time today. I wish you guys all the best. Stay healthy, both physically and from Corona with the sickness. And we'll talk soon.
Amen.
Man. And we'll talk
Excellent.
Soon.
Excellent. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for having me. Enjoyed it. And I look forward to staying in touch soon.
Absolutely. Best of luck. Fight on.
Take care.
Wow, Spence, that was an amazing call with Mike Swets, Director of Operations for the USC Trojans men's basketball team. They're 18-3. They sit atop the Pac-12, and they have their eyes on the prize of winning the Pac-12 regular season, which they haven't done in a long, long time because, I mean, USC, as you know, Spence, has historically been a football school, and basketball has always
That's
been
right.
secondary, right? Football's really taken a front seat.
Yeah, which is awesome, and it's great. And what I love about USC basketball this year is what's one of USC basketball's best wins?
Well, I think it's when they played BYU. They looked
when they played BYU, and not only did they beat, I mean, you guys beat us by 20, right? And that's looking better and better. And our loss to you guys has turned out to be a good what you would characterize as a good loss, right? Because you guys have been so good, so. I've been a fan of USC ever since you guys kicked our patooties here a couple of months ago.
But
they're good. And boy, I really like Mike's comments and he's so articulate and he's so positive about his team. And gosh, I mean, that guy just exudes confidence. Who wouldn't want to play for a guy like that, right?
Yeah, he was fantastic. He does their travel. He helps with their recruiting. He keeps Andy Enfield and his staff organized. He helps with the X's and O's, and he sits right on the bench, and he knows what's going on with USC basketball at all times. And I feel like he's really done a good job as a general manager of that program. The recruiting's been top notch. I mean, USC could literally have the number one pick in the NBA draft. I mean, right now on their team, get drafted number one. That's a big kudos and feather in your cap as a program. And you're sitting atop the Pac-12. You might win the Pac-12. Maybe you go to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight without getting too ahead of ourselves, but having a really exciting season. And then they have a great recruiting class coming in. So USC basketball might get on the map, and maybe for 3 or 4 or 5 years, they're really competitive, making the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, maybe a final.
They certainly have the talent. I mean, when I watched them play, they had size, they had shooting, they had speed, they have athleticism. I mean, they were a tough matchup for BYU because we primarily rely upon our physicality, and USC matched our physicality and then was more athletic than us, right? So it was a tough matchup for us. And they, I think they could do a make a run. I they're a dark horse type team to make a deep run this year in the tournament.
I think especially if they can get that 3, 4, 5 seed. Something
right.
like that. And right now, I mean, gosh, they have a tough stretch. Arizona, Stanford, Oregon, UCLA in just a matter of a few days. But if they can get out of that like 3-1, something like that, get to 21-4, really secure the Pac-12, win a couple games in the Pac-12 tournament. I think that a 3-4 seed would be reasonable for them. And then maybe, Sweet 16, Elite Eight type kind of run, especially when you have one of the best players in the whole country on your team. You can ride him a little bit in those deep games, and we'll see what happens, especially with Duke's down, Kentucky's down, North Carolina. Some of these blue bloods aren't quite as elite, but it's traditional football powers, which is kind of surprising, right? Baylor, Michigan, Ohio State, you got USC kind of in the mix. And then Gonzaga. I don't know how Gonzaga does it. I don't think anybody beats Gonzaga. But you know what? You never know. With one game, with single elimination tournament, you never know if a team has just a terrible game and gets beat.
That's
right. You never know.
That's right. Well, I'll be cheering them on for sure. Absolutely. And hopefully they do well. Now, the interesting thing and I know we've kind of hinted at this a couple of times today, but the NCAA just came out saying they're allowing 25% capacity at all the arenas in Indianapolis for the men's and the women's tournament. I don't know where the women's tournament is being played. Do you?
I think it's in San Antonio, if I was reading right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, San Antonio,
right.
Texas, and then we'll have, which is, I think, freezing cold right now. We'll see if that thing heats up. But Texas has been in an iceberg right now. But poor guys, a blessing's out to Texas. But, they're in Texas with some limited capacity fans. But think about that. These are kids that for a year have not played in front of any fans. That's going to be really interesting.
Right. 25% capacity is still 25% capacity. You know, that's playing in front of your friends and family, big-time boosters, and fans, right? I mean, the game – have you been to an NCAA game? I can't remember. I think you have, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been to ones where they've been here in Portland, and it's like an event, right, where people are screaming, yelling, and you can have 10,000, 15,000 fans in the stands, and if you had 25% capacity, that's 3,000 or 4,000 people there.
Yeah, there's a buzz. I mean, there is a buzz when you're at these games that, as you know, that it's so different than when you're playing with fans or without fans. I mean, I've been watching a lot of basketball, and it is interesting to watch these teams play in front of, you know, in these huge arenas with no fans. And you know, they have to almost create their own hype, you know, and having even 25% capacity of fans, I really think it's going to help. Especially it's going to help those big time programs that can travel with fans, right? Like, you know, the Gonzagas of the world and the Kansases and the USCs, those teams that have big fan bases that can travel like crazy. And those are the teams that are really going to benefit, I think. So, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited. Of course, I wish I would have known that Indianapolis was going to allow fans. You know, I might have tried to get out there for the games, but now it's too hard to try to get the tickets, I'm sure.
Well, that would be epic if you were able to get that. I mean, Spence, and then you would
it's
be.
It's not happening.
Well, I know you've made it to the Jumbotron at an NCAA game before.
2 years in a row, we made it up on the Jumbotron because we were cheering for some random small school, and it was awesome. But we'll do that next year when it's coming to Portland. We'll make that happen.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, since Donnie picked for me last week, I went 2-2 last week again. I'm just not doing well. You were 4-0 every week, it seemed like, and if worst weeks you were like 3-1 at the worst. I tried to follow your instructions and I still did that.
It's a tough thing, you know, it's a gut feeling, and I really do think there's some luck involved and that sort of thing. But I think also being around programs for years, you learn kind of a nuance of the mentality of a sports team and kind of how they approach games mentally. And you can kind of learn trends a little bit. I think some of the best sports bookies might have been somebody that's worked in college athletics for years. They know just a hint. Maybe more than the average person, where they can kind of predict, like, well, usually after these two emotions, this is probably how they're going to feel. I'll bet you this is going to be a tough game for them. And it's just a gut feeling, you know. But you're going to learn. I mean, the grasshopper always learns and becomes the master.
Well, I'm trying to learn from the best. I mean, your record speaks for itself, and I'm just learning at your feet here right now. You know, I'm just trying my best to improve every day.
Yeah. You'll get there. Well, hey, you want to do, what do you think? A few picks? You want to get
in? Yeah, let's do a couple of picks, and we'll see how I do. Hopefully I have a better week.
All right, let's see here. So I'm going to, right off the bat, I want to kind of get into a tough one for you, where I'm going to go USC Arizona.
USC, is that today or is that tomorrow?
That's tomorrow. It's at USC at the Galen Center, and they're playing Arizona, which is a decent team. They're not a slough. They're down a little bit this year. I think they're sixth in the Pac-12 right now, but they're in the mix. I mean, they're a dangerous team, but USC's red hot, won 7 games in a row, and seems pretty focused. Who do you think about that one?
I think, and this is at USC. I got USC winning that game, I think they'll win it handily.
Yep. That sounds good. Okay. All right. How about number 15, Texas Tech, at number 23, Kansas?
I'm going to go Kansas in the upset because I think that Kansas is starting to turn it around. I think Texas Tech is a little bit up and down, and I think Kansas is going to win the game.
How about number 13, West Virginia, at number 12, Texas?
Ooh, that is a great game. Oh, man, that's going to be tough. Texas is good, athletic. West Virginia is very defensive-minded, really good. I'm going to say Texas wins that game in a close one. Close one.
And then I got one more for you, Spence. It's a tough one. Number 3, Michigan, at number 4, Ohio State.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, see, last week I said Michigan was going to have a tough time because they were playing at Wisconsin after a month and a half layoff because they had to close down their program for a month layoff for COVID. And then Michigan went out and just drubbed Wisconsin. Now, I have not seen with Ohio State play very much. They're athletic, they can shoot, but Michigan is the real deal. I think that Michigan pulls off the upset at Ohio State.
Wow, yeah. We got some big basketball games coming up, legit games. Now, who does BYU have coming up?
We play the Lions of LMU on Saturday at noon. So, it's going to be a tough game. LMU is tough. They're really good. They're number 3 in the conference this year. They have avoided playing Gonzaga and BYU, though, the two best teams in the league. So we'll see. This is going to be a big step up. I think BYU wins the game handily, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, BYU's impressed me. I mean, they're 16-5. They had a big win, I think, by about 28 points against Pacific yesterday. And,
that's right.
You know, so they have but a nice little stretch coming up. They got LMU, San Francisco, and St. Mary's. And we'll kind of see what BYU's made of. What expectations do you have as far as seeding for them?
I think we're going to be in the 7-8-9 seeding area, 7-8-9-10 area, which I would love a 7, right? If we could get up to a 7, I think that would be great. If we win our next 3 games and fight and have a good game against Gonzaga in the tournament, we might get up to a 7. I'd like a 7. But I think more than likely we're going to be on that 8-9 line. I think that's kind of where we're going to end up. And it's going to be a tough game against those 8-9 games are pick-ups pretty much every time. I'd love it if we won a game, and we're competitive in our second game. That would be great in the tournament this year. But we'll see. If we get on that 8-9 line, we're going to be playing the, Baylor, Michigan, Ohio State of the world. And those teams are so good. And I don't know how well we match up with them. But, if you get down to that 2 line, then you're playing, like Houston and some of these, mid-major type schools that are having great seasons. That's going to be a little bit better of a matchup for us. But still tough. I mean, ideally, I'd love if we could get up to a 6, but I don't think we're going to get to a 6 unless we beat Gonzaga in the tournament. So we'll have to, I think we'll probably be 7-8-9, somewhere in that range.
My dream is that USC, BYU could somehow magically meet in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, let's do it. How about in the Final Four, something like that, Just maybe in the championship game. If that happens, we're going for sure, right?
Whatever it takes, we're getting the next flight out. We'll be there. And so, well, Spence, it's been another great show, another great guest, a relevant guest. We're talking about USC basketball. They're just ranked number 1 in the Pac-12, and they got games coming up, and we got March Madness, and we've read the headlines of the breaking news. Just today they announced 25% capacity. So we're bringing knowledge on a Friday that's just breaking. Nobody has it fresher than our podcast, and that's why people need to listen. They need to subscribe to us, and I think next week we're going to have another big guest.
Let's do it. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it on going, and it's been a blast. I've enjoyed it every second of it, and let's keep doing this. Let's keep growing, keep having more interaction with these awesome guests and awesome people. So I hope everyone's staying safe and healthy out there, and if you don't have your power back yet, you're in Texas or Arkansas or Oregon or wherever, we want you to stay safe, be warm, be healthy, and be careful out there, all right?
Yeah, bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.